Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, American Airlines and Marriott were the big winners Thursday night at the annual Frequent Travelers Awards known as the Freddies. Mark was there as a live report from Seattle for us.
Frequent Travel University is wrapping up here in the Northwest, and we'll tell you what the students were studying this weekend. Updates start at 3:15.
If you're a mother making travel plans for your family, well, we're going to introduce you to a wonderful gal, Summer Hall from MommyPoints.com at 3:35.
I'm live in Seattle. Tom's still breathing in Sacramento, and we have an hour of fun on the radio coming your way next on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want it, Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio here in Sacramento. Mark, a ways away in Seattle, been there for the Freddy Awards, the Frequent Travelers University. Just, gosh, all kinds of great stuff has been going on all weekend long. Mark, hello all the way from Northern California, even further north to you.
Hey, good afternoon to you, Mr. Romano, in Sack of Tomatoes down there. I am enjoying Seattle. The weather was kind of nice for a day or so up here, which is, you know, kind of the way Seattle goes. And today it can't decide really if it wants to pour rain, just sort of rain, or maybe the sun come out. Right now we're in the sun coming out phase. So anybody who's lived or stayed up here in Seattle for any length of time knows that this is just the way it is in Seattle. But one of the things that makes it such a beautiful city is the fact that on a nice day when the skies are clear, boy, it's truly one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
Well, let's go ahead and get the show set up right, and that is for you to tell folks why you're in Seattle. Tell us about what the Freddy Awards are all about and the Frequent Travelers University before we get into our interviews, okay?
All right. Well, I came up for two special events. The Freddy Awards on Thursday night, which is where frequent travelers are vote online. This year, we'll hear an interview in a little bit, but several million votes were cast this year. And airlines and hotel chains are awarded based on those votes cast, kind of a people's choice sort of awards, if you were. Those were on Thursday night at the Boeing Museum of Flight. And then Saturday and Sunday here has been Frequent Flyer University in this remarkable city. And Friday I took a sightseeing day, if you will, here in town. Tom, there is a wonderful new thing for folks who are coming to Seattle in the foreseeable future. There is now light rail from the airport. And the airport has always been a little bit of an issue in Seattle because it's further from downtown than it is in Sacramento. So it was about a $35 cab ride. Or, you know, you rent a car and you got to park it at an expensive hotel downtown. If you're staying down there, it was always kind of a conundrum. But now you could come up. Heck, you could come to Seattle for the day. You could come up here in the morning on a flight. I know this sounds crazy, but lots of people do things like this. You could get on the light rail here in 35 minutes. You're downtown Seattle. You could enjoy Pike Place Market and all the sights and sounds of downtown Seattle, the original Starbucks and all that jazz. Get back on the light rail, come out here and catch a plane. Or you can now stay at the airport and save yourself. Hotels at the airport in Seattle are probably on the average $50 to $100 less than hotels in downtown Seattle, comparing quality to quality. And so you could easily stay at the airport and commute to downtown. And if you were flying, then you really wouldn't need a rental car. So there's another huge savings. So a new way to see, I think, to be able to enjoy Seattle. Pike Place Market is just as wonderful as always. They now have tours of the market there. You can go and get yourself a little guided tour and meet some of the vendors up close and personal. And of course, there's Cutter's Bay House right there. Great place to have lunch next to the market. One of my favorite places on the planet. You can probably tell from how I'm carrying on.
I can. And boy, I'm a little jealous. Look,
shall we get into the news?
Yeah,
and then
let's talk
some more about the awards on the other side of the news.
Absolutely. First, though, I do want to remind people to go to travelguysradio.com, and you can follow along all the stuff we're going to be talking about on today's program. Mark, what do you got for us in today's travel news?
Well, in the news today, Tom, the CEO of Hawaiian Airlines says Hawaii's hospitality industry must do more to make Chinese visitors feel welcome. Why is this important? Well, Chinese visitors are now making about 70% of the luxury purchases in many of the state's major tourism spots, Hawaii being one of them. They haven't made it up to that 70 percentile yet, but now that his airline is flying to Beijing 3 days a week, the CEO told a retailers convention on Thursday that he thinks the state is unprepared for the potential number of Chinese visitors that could arrive. He said that Chinese visitors do not see Hawaii as a friendly destination by survey. He noted several obstacles for Hawaii to tap into the potentially vast Chinese market, including a lack of low and mid-priced hotels, not enough promotion in China, and too few Mandarin speakers in Waikiki. Tom, that might have something to do with a lack of U.S. tourists in Honolulu, the lack of mid and low-priced hotels.
Yeah, I would think that makes a lot of sense.
Might not just be the Chinese folks. Hey, here's an interesting story. A disabled man was awarded $8,000 a couple of weeks ago after being stranded on a Disneyland ride. Now, normally this wouldn't be, you know, that big of travel news, but I thought this was kind of interesting. Before anybody who has ever visited Disneyland, this is important. A wheelchair-bound man was awarded $8,000 after Disney's It's a Small World ride broke, stranding him for half an hour while the theme song played continuously over and over, according to an attorney for the plaintiff. So I would say, you know, you wonder sometimes these nuisance suits, why people file them. But if you subjected me to that theme song for 30 minutes over and over, I'd want some money, too.
I guess that would be under the heading of cruel and unusual punishment.
Did you see that Four Seasons, the hotel and resort chain, has their own airplane now?
Really?
They've leased their very own Boeing 757, painted it black, and they're going to fly guests on global tours starting in February of next year. They're already accepting reservations for their It's Around the World tour. 24 days, 9 stops that starts in Los Angeles and ends in London. It's $119,000 a person. You stop in Hawaii, Bora Bora, Sydney, Bali, Northern Thailand, Mumbai, and Istanbul. Or you can take a shorter 16-day trip through Paris, London, Milan, Istanbul, and Prague, and get back home. That one's a little bit cheaper. Each journey includes air and ground transportation, excursions, meals, and a ground concierge to help you at each stop.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to start putting extra money in my piggy bank to pay for that.
On your salary, I'm surprised that you haven't already signed up for one of these $119,000 jobs.
Okay.
Business travelers are saying that it's hotel locations that matters most when they're picking a place to stay. It's all about location. Of over 500 travelers polled by Choice Hotels International, 73% said hotel location mattered the most when picking a place to stay. 61% said quality of the room was most critical. Free Wi-Fi came in third at 55%. Among those surveyed, 84% said they preferred to work in their room. You know, many hotels now have been making Wi-Fi free in the lobby because they want you to pay for it in your room. But guests are overwhelming, telling hotels that they want to be able to work in the room. And meanwhile, 51% say they use a microwave when they have one, and 53% take advantage of a refrigerator if there's one on property. And finally, in the last story in today's travel news, this is about the Freddies. The top frequent flyer awards on the planet were given out last Thursday here in Seattle at the Boeing Museum of Flight. American's Advantage Frequent Flyer Program and Marriott Rewards Program each were repeat winners. The win was American's third in a row, while Marriott has won 7 consecutive times. Among the overall results that include all regions, Virgin Australia's Velocity program and the Intercontinental Hotel Group, that's Holiday Inn, Rewards Club, each claimed 5 different Freddies. Air France and KLM's Flying Blue program and Marriott each took home 4 different Freddie awards. Looking at just the Americas, in the airline category, American and Avianca each won 2 awards, while Southwest Rapid Reward program won 1. Marriott took home 4 of the 5 Freddies, going to hotel chains in categories for the Americas. And I'll have more on the Freddies in my interview with Ben Schlappig, which is coming up today at 2:20. And Thomas, that is the travel news for today.
There you go. And boy, we're going to find out who was left holding nothing at the Freddie Awards. I think you'll be surprised. Well, some people will. Some people probably won't if they've traveled on those airlines. Okay, we are the Travel Guys and Mark's in Seattle. Tom in studio. You keep it here. Remember, visit TravelGuysRadio.com to follow along with the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a matter of minutes.
I'm a traveling man.
Yes, I have. Mark is the traveling man. He's in Seattle. Freddie Awards over the weekend in the Frequent Traveler University. You're going to get a degree from Frequent Traveler University? What do you get, Mark?
No, I'm just here to spy. I'm just, you know, they don't invite members of the media to things like this. So I'm kind of been grandfathered into the group, which is kind of a privilege. And so I just, you know, kind of stay low key. They had a Seattle, one Seattle TV station out here on Friday night when they had a reception and was talking to a few people.
What is
but, you know, for obvious reasons, they don't want a tremendous amount of publicity. I mean, it's not like this is a, you know, undercover work or anything, but there are things that are shared that people don't want to be shared with everybody on the planet. I mean, if you know a little way that gives you a little bit of an edge, you want to be able to tell your friends and let them have an edge, but you're hoping that that edge doesn't get back to the guy who accidentally gave it to you so he can correct it. I mean, it's all part of the game, you know.
What is the turnout? How many people do you think? Because I'm looking at the itinerary for the Frequent Traveler University. They've got all kinds of great seminars. Our buddy Ben Schlopik, a rock star there, it appears.
Oh, yeah. And I want to talk about those. Before we talk about all the different seminars and stuff, let's talk about Ben just for a second here. Ben has been a guest on our program really almost since day one. For folks who don't know, Ben Schlopik is a young man who graduated from Tampa University. And when he was very young, and we'll get him to tell us this story on the air because he shared it up here and I had never heard it before. But when he was 14, he started playing the points and miles game, and that's a whole story for another day. But Ben is now in his mid-20s, and he's up here in he lives in Seattle. But as you're going to find out during our interview, Ben is about to has already embarked on a lifestyle that most of us can only dream of, and we'll get into that. But Ben was at the Freddy's with me on Friday evening. In fact, he was the man who helped me get my ticket to get in, and we gathered some observations. So let's roll that interview. This is Ben Schlopik from 1 mile at a time. He's also known as Lucky among the frequent flyer crowd. So here's Ben Schlopik on interview.
Ben, the Freddies were the other night at the Boeing Museum of Flight. Some of your thoughts on who the winners and who the losers were.
Well, I think the Freddies were pretty telling of kind of the direction the industry has been headed. The losers were, as we would expect, United and Delta. They didn't even get the top four in any category, which I guess should not be surprising given their recent evaluations.
Did you say to me that United wasn't even present at the...
I do not believe they even had a representative present, which I guess makes sense given that they kind of realize what their program is.
Yeah, I guess it would have been more embarrassing for them to be there and not win than to not be there and not win. But the fact that they were not even in the top four in any of the categories is really kind of makes a statement. And the fact that they show up consistently on the bottom of every customer service survey that's done by anybody, airlines or anybody else, is kind of telling.
It says a lot about the direction the industry is headed. I think the airlines are finally back in control when you look at how profitable they are despite the bad customer service they're providing. I guess people are flying them because of the routes they fly as opposed to the service.
Interesting frequent flyer discussion in the United session today about how there are so many RJs now on what used to be mainline routes with United that in often cases your loyalty now, you're paying a pretty serious price. You're flying on lesser equipment in many cases in order to maintain the loyalty with that carrier, especially if you're up against a Virgin America city.
Exactly. Really, the low-cost carriers are providing the good experience nowadays domestically. You have Virgin America and JetBlue. They both have TVs, comfortable seats. Meanwhile, the legacy carriers, especially United, are mostly flying regional jets in big markets that really are not very comfortable.
Ben, you seem like you had a pretty successful day today. You've got to be pretty tired. You've made four presentations today, and you've been on your feet talking for at least 6.5 or 7 of those hours. And a lot of information shared today. What do you personally get out of the Frequent Traveler University settings like this?
Well, I just love interacting with other frequent flyers. I do this ultimately because this is my greatest passion. I love everything having to do with miles and points, and to be able to interact with 500 other people that have a similar passion is always fun, especially when it's a pretty new group. This year we have 73% new attendees.
Wow.
So that's really exciting to see so many new faces that are excited to be here.
Yeah, I've been to a couple, and I was going to comment that it seems like there are a tremendous number of people who have not been here before. But this is the first time this event has been held in Seattle, yes?
It is the first time it's been held in Seattle, so they're trying to mix up the coast so that as many people can attend as possible.
Well, and I know there are a lot of folks who are fairly local here, and because I've talked to a few of them, and so it does give people the opportunity. It's amazing how many people have a passion for this little hobby. Tomorrow you're going to stand up, and you and some other folks are going to share your thoughts on where this is all headed. Give us a sneak peek, since this doesn't air till tomorrow afternoon. Where do you think this is all headed?
Unfortunately, I think our future isn't very bright. The airlines are in control, and that means there's going to be cuts continuously to frequent flyer programs. And I think kind of the best we can do is stay on top of the changes and kind of stay one step ahead of the airlines, because they catch up with us today a lot faster than they did in the past.
Frequent travelers, the hotel and airline's friend during down economic times.
Exactly. Sadly, that's what it is. Loyalty is a one-way street nowadays.
I heard you talking about some of your upcoming travels, so you're still doing a bit of globetrotting here, even though you're now headquartered in Seattle?
I am. Well, I am now a full-time hotel resident. I live in hotels full-time. And
Explain that.
So I'm going around the world. I'm spending 2 weeks in every city in the world. Not every city in the world. I'm spending 2 weeks every place I go. So right now I'm still in Seattle, which is my home base, but I'll be spending 2 weeks in Sicily, then 2 weeks in the Middle East, then 2 weeks in India. So I'm going to do this for at least a year and kind of see how it goes.
I know you did this for very little money a few years back, but curiosity gets me again. How does one afford this?
Well, with hotel points and hotel status, it really pays off, because previously, as kind of a road warrior, I was spending 3 weeks per month on the road. So really, I was paying rent for a week. So I was paying a whole month of rent for that, and I had a car and car insurance. And when you dump that and do the numbers, you realize you can actually come out ahead living in hotels full time. So I'll have an analysis on that soon.
We'll look at your blog. I don't disagree with you, though. As somebody who frequently only spends 7 or 8 nights a month at home, and you pay the rent at the end of the month, and you think, wow, I could have stayed in a really nice hotel for that amount of money.
That was the math I did. I realized I could be staying at the Four Seasons Seattle in a suite for those nights that I was at home instead of having an apartment. So.
Ben, hey, thanks for your time today. I'm very proud of you. You looked like a rock star today, and with folks following you around everywhere that you go. And dare I say that lucky and 1 mile at a time is probably likely to be around for a while, it looks like.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure. You're awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You know, when we first hooked up with Ben a few years back, he would fly into storms, areas where there were a lot of storms and flights would probably be canceled, so that he could either get cash or extra points for not being able to travel. Now, Mark, but listening to Ben, tell me what you know about Ben's plan or his reality, if you will, of living in hotels and this 2 week in different city game plan he has. What do you know about this? This definitely sounds like
the coolest thing you've.
Well, it does. Yeah, I knew you were going to say the coolest thing ever, because I knew you would want to do this.
Well, I spend a lot of time in hotels. It's not that I'd want to live in hotels for the rest of my life, but you know, the idea of having maid service every day is, you know, somewhat appealing. I am a man after all. What Ben has figured out is he just did the math and figured out that for the few nights a month that he's here or in a home base, it doesn't make any sense. And plus, he figured out that if he didn't have a car and he didn't have a car payment and he didn't, you know, I mean, think about those things, and you didn't pay rent right away, that frees up for most people a couple $1,000s a month. You know, and if you're only, he's figured out this system and with the miles and the points and all this kind of stuff. Remember, Ben told us at one point in time when he was, I think, 19 or 20, he traveled all year and spent 250 nights on the road and was all over the world, literally, and it cost him $3,900 for the entire year, hotels, airfare, everything. So, it's an example of, you know, these folks are professionals. Don't try this at home, sort of thing. But there are several levels down where people like you and I can moderate. But yeah, if you figure this game out, why then you can take advantage of it. And listen, you know, Ben and I were talking after the interview, and both agreed that we're both very lucky to be in the travel business. And he said, you know, I just figured out that I can do this, and I'm at the age when I can. So why not?
Well, for those of us commoners here, after the news, we've got a gal that's going to share some information that the commoners, the man on the street, the woman on the street, the mom on the street could.
Yeah, Summer Hall from Mommy Points. She's one of my favorite ladies, and she's always so much fun. And she had her little daughter with her little 4-year-old with her running around here. So, yeah, she's going to come back and talk about some of the credit cards. If you're only going to have one credit card and you're only going towards one goal, those tickets to Hawaii or whatever it is, why, what credit card do you need? And Summer is going to fill us in on that right after the news.
All that and more coming up. You're listening to The Travel Guys right here on News Radio KFBK. You're tuned to The Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman in Seattle at the frequent Travelers University. And maybe this time you'll actually graduate. I don't know.
That is just rude. I'm here. Did you take a look at the program for all of the stuff that's been going on up here?
I did.
It still is going on downstairs as we speak, and I'm going to head back down when we get done broadcasting here and hear about the man. This guy made an attempt to earn 1,000,000 miles in 1 month.
Wow.
And he's already alluded a couple of times to, he had a rule that, he didn't do anything. And I thought to myself, anything if it didn't get him miles? So we'll find out and maybe have that story next week. But all kinds of stuff, everything from, there was a guy who gave a seminar about hacking United Airlines, some little ways that you could maybe gain an edge. And there was a similar one for American, and there was one for Hyatt and Starwood. There's a award booking and one called Massive Earning from Credit Cards.
Which one did you go to? Did you go hear Ben talk about where the game is headed?
I did. Yeah. That was this morning, and they kind of talked about the...
What did you get out of this here again, you get your frequent flyer miles and so forth, and not so much in the same way that Ben and some of these other folks do. Yours is a lot related to, of course, sports, leisure, vacations, travel, and so forth. But as a frequent traveler, which one of the seminars was most interesting to you, Mark?
Well, I think there was one this afternoon, which didn't have as much to do really with miles and points. It was forget hotel loyalty, save money off the beaten path. And it was a guy basically explaining that, don't go out of your way and spend a lot of money to be loyal to a certain hotel brand, because really in the end, you can probably get a better deal and save money and still stay in nice places. And he explained how that could be done. There's a seminar going right now, which hotel loyalty program is right for you. So it's just all kinds of different things. You're going to hear in an interview a little bit later on, Randy Peterson talking about some of the give back, a thing that he calls Launch Point, which turned out to be kind of a miniature version of the television show Shark Tank, mm-hmm. in which some guys were able to stand up and talk about some of the things that they have created that they would like to get funded to help travelers be able to keep track of things or work on things. And that was really quite fascinating. So it's a combination of hobbyists and geeks and casual travelers who are probably in a couple of pay grades over their head but are having a good time. So it's there's about 400 people here, and we talked to a lot of them. In fact, Tom, I ran into earlier today, Summer Hall. Summer she's a blogger, and she has a website, mommypoints.com. And if you are a mother of any kind, if you're a mother, I guess there wouldn't be mothers of any kind, would there, Tom?
I don't know. Why not?
She has a little 4-year-old, and she plays the game in order to get vacations for her family. In fact, she used to make her husband check in and check out of hotels, because you get a credit for a stay for one night. So if he was staying 4 nights, she'd make him stay in 4 different hotels in the same block.
Right.
All
owned by the same company, so that you could get frequent repeat, or should I say more stays, if you will.
Well, exactly. And they were explaining today that in many cases, ask your family if you can't book the hotel's rooms in your name, because most hotels will allow you to have 2 or 3 rooms in your name and get credit for them at the same time. Because what that does is, if you get your status the next year and the family goes on vacation with you again, they're all going to wonder why they got the ocean view room or the extra large room or, mm-hmm. The nice amenity in their room. And the reason they got it was because you had the status that helped them. So in some cases, you can kind of make make sure one person in the family has the status, and then that way it'll get you there. But anyway, we talked to Summer a little bit earlier today about some of the things that would help people who really are just in it for the basics. What credit card should you get if you're only going to get one card? Here's what Summer had to say.
Summer, talk to my listeners who are people who they're never going to get involved on this on the level that you and I are involved in it. They've got one or two credit cards. They're trying to create that fantasy trip to Hawaii. They're trying to buy a couple of airline tickets or something like that. How do they maximize their earning power?
Well, what I would say, if you have one or two good reward earning credit cards, would be to maximize your usage of those. If you don't have any cards that earn miles or points, I would get at least one. Good ones are ones that would earn Amex membership rewards or Chase Ultimate rewards. Those would be my first choices. And then once you have one, use it. Use it for your everyday spending. If you go to the gas station, if you go to the grocery store, when you pay your car insurance, when you go to the doctor, when you pay your cell phone bill, all of those are sorts of things I charge on my credit card to really rack up the number of miles and points I earn. And they were expenses I was going to have anyway. So I'm not spending more. I'm just spending it differently and then paying it off at the end of the month and racking up thousands of miles and points every month for doing so.
So I open my email one day and there's a notice from a credit card company that says you can have 25 or 50,000 miles points, whatever, if you get this card and you spend $1,000 in 90 days or something like that. The typical guy on the street, how should I be responding to those types of offers?
The typical guy on the street, if you're just going to get one or two ever, then I would just really look real critically at them and say, hey, I'm getting 50,000, say, Southwest points. What is that going to get me? Well, it's going to get you more than $700 in Wanna Get Away Southwest credit. And so if Southwest flies somewhere you want to go, that might be a great deal. But it's worth just looking. Look at the airline or hotel's website and see what does that get me. Or just hit the easy button. Some of the offers are for two free hotel nights, like with Hyatt. They'll give you two free hotel nights for spending $1,000 on their card. That's easy. If there's somewhere you want to go that has a Hyatt for two nights, then that's one you know would be probably a great value for you.
You mentioned in your seminar here today at Frequent Traveler University that there are a lot of ways for people to earn extra miles, additional miles. You mentioned Twitter. You mentioned some various places where, give a couple of examples to our listeners of places that where they could go, where they can earn miles on a daily basis for some of the cards that you're talking about.
Sure. The easiest one my family does is doing our shopping online via shopping portals. So most of the major hotels and airlines, and even some of the credit card issuers like Chase Ultimate Rewards, they'll have online shopping portals that list all the normal retailers you probably shop at online, like Sears, Gap, Home Depot, Pottery Barn. But instead of going directly to those retailer websites, you just click through this like United Mileage Plus shopping site, and then you'll get something like, say, 4 miles per dollar for your Gap purchase. So if you spend $100 on some new clothes at Gap.com, that may result in 400 miles if they were paying out 4X. And it really adds up, especially when you start doing your major shopping on there, such as when you need to get a new appliance or some expensive item.
Wow, there's some terrific ideas. Summer Hull is our guest on the Travel Guys at Frequent Traveler University in Seattle. Summer, you have a little one running around here somewhere. I looked on your website when I was looking up just some general biographical information about you. It says that your little one is four. Is that up-to-date information?
Yes, she's four.
I was going to say she kind of looks like about four. Is there a particular goal that the lady who runs Mommy Points is chasing right now in the frequent flyer world?
There are. I have a bunch of trips already booked, which I'm excited about, including going around the world with my husband next week for his 40th birthday on miles and points. But Hawaii is a place my kid loves, and so we make sure that we're earning enough miles and points to take her to Hawaii with all of us on a regular basis. She also just went to Paris for the first time and now is really, really interested in learning French. So we'll be integrating some of those goals and continuing to just show her new parts of the world to encourage her learning and exploring.
How incredibly cool is that she's lucky enough to have a mommy who, because of what you're chasing, now she's getting exposed to all of these things, which will probably change her life quite a bit. What got you into this?
What got me into it, the biggest, was I went to grad school in New York while I was dating a guy and had family back in Texas. So I was back and forth a whole lot. And when I finished grad school, I was broke, obviously, but I had enough miles to go to Hawaii with my boyfriend at the time when most of my friends couldn't even afford the gas to drive to the beach down the road. And that opened my eyes to, you know, earning miles and points means that you're not limited to where your car can take you. You're limited to where airplanes and things like that can take you all around the world.
Are you still making your husband change hotels every other night so that you can wrap hotel stays?
He's really pretty integrated in this world now. But he has enough work travel where his work stays can be leveraged pretty easily to earn enough miles and points and elite status for our trips.
Your website is mommypoints.com. Is that right?
That's it, mommypoints.com.
And you blog there on a very regular basis?
Yeah, I post pretty much every single day of the year, sometimes two or three times a day, depending on the deals that are out there, so that people don't have to spend their time digging around the internet. You can get a lot of the deals right in one spot.
It really is one of the best websites. I read it on a regular basis, mommypoints.com. It's good for mommies and for not-so-mommies, too. So thank you, Summer, for a little bit of your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we are the Travel Guys. Mark, one of our listeners wanted to know, does Summer just do this as a living, as a job, running her website, or did she actually do something with that degree she got there in New York?
I don't know if she did. I sense the guy in New York is not her current husband, because when she was telling that story, she said some guy in New York.
Right.
So I'm guessing she wouldn't have described her current husband that way. No, she does not have a job now. She just blogs and she's a full-time points chaser. And of course, she's become somewhat of a spokesperson and well-known. So I'm sure that she's figured out a way to monetize this in some way, as some of these folks have. That's part of the magic, is become such a big deal that some of the people are now making money off of their knowledge, and as well they should, just like it is in any different type of industry. Tom, also, I got a question from a listener who asked me to explain what an RJ was. Ben and I were talking about RJs on United routes.
Right.
RJ stands for regional jet. So that means one of those 50 or 70 passenger things that aren't nearly as comfortable as a full-sized airplane. That's what we were kind of referring to there. So,
got it.
Anyways, it was nice to see Summer and see her little one running around. And we'll get her back on the radio with us more frequently. She said that was kind of fun here. Everybody who has been a guest on the program before, and I didn't get to talk to all of them to put them on the air today, but we had lots of people kind of sort of lining up to be on the radio. So we had the Travel Guys are popular here at Frequent Traveler University.
Well, coming up in just a few minutes, you're going to take us to a very special interview with a guy that kind of like started all of this, huh?
Yeah, the godfather of the frequent flyer movement. The man who really, when the airlines do something, they turn around and look to see how he reacts before they know if they did right. Randy Peterson will join us on the Travel Guys right after the break on KFBK.
It's the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK, available at TravelGuysRadio.com and brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom Romano with you, Mark Hoffman in Seattle at the, well, he went to the Freddie Awards and... And then he went to Frequent Traveler University. He graduated, and now he's got a special guest coming up in just a moment who started it all, handed you your award.
Yeah, Randy Peterson is a wonderful guy. There's a picture of Randy on our website. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can see a picture of Randy with some of the Freddie winners, and he was wearing a Seahawks jersey because he had to pay off a Super Bowl wager that he lost because he's from Colorado Springs and he's a Bronco fan. So he came to Seattle and had to pay his dues. But Randy is a really, really nice guy. These are all really good people. You listen to Summer, you listen to Benny, you think, wow, these people have figured out some secret. Well, a little bit, but they're just regular folks, and there's 300 or 400 of them running around in this hotel, and they're all just trying to get a leg up on the world. And when we talked to Randy, I asked him, he's got some really special things going on. One of them that he introduced to us called Launch Point, which is a way for entrepreneurs to get a shot at a $50,000 cash it boost to their business money that he is providing. And we talked to Randy and he explained a little bit about Launch Point.
Randy, tell me a little bit about something that I found out about for the first time here at Frequent Traveler University. It's a program you have called Launch Point. If people have seen the television program Shark Tank, they'll have an idea, sort of what you did. But tell us about it.
Yeah, Launch Point really is a Shark Tank mixed up with American Idol. Okay, popular vote. But the idea is, I'm kind of an entrepreneur. I've been very, very lucky. But almost daily, I find frequent flyers with ideas and dreams on how to build a better travel life for themselves and others. And it's really hard to find money out there. Most of the VC money and everybody else wants to build the next Expedia. They don't really want to build the next little tool for frequent flyers. In fact, most frequent flyer ideas are never really funded. So the idea was, what can I do as an entrepreneur to give back? So the idea of LaunchPoint came up, sponsored by MilePoint. Actually, happened to get a couple other people excited about it. Delta is an airline, Southwest Airlines supports it, Hilton supports it, and others. We have Points.com jumped in on it, so we've got some really good sponsors, and even American Express Open is taking a look at it. But the idea is, how can we help this group that typically is underfunded for ideas, and how can we help them build better tools for frequent travelers?
Well, and we watched five people give demonstrations of, talked about their product for about 3 minutes, yes. Kind of like Shark Tank. Yes. You had a little bit of a panel there. Yep. They asked some questions, and then we were all allowed to vote on which one we thought would be the best place to put your money. And there will be some further weaning out of folks, but it was very interesting, and it was fascinating to watch some folks have an opportunity to do that. This is not your first Frequent Traveler University or your first Freddie Awards. No. You've had a hand in a lot of these things. How did you feel about the Freddie Awards the other night?
Well, you know, I got a lot of feedback. This is the 26th Freddie Awards. I started them back in 1988, and man, I'm very proud of the Freddie Awards, but this the feedback is this wasn't the best one ever. The venue at the Museum of Flight in Seattle was fabulous. We had flight simulators, and I don't know. I keep thinking that all these road warriors and the airline industry, they've already done that, but apparently not, because the line was long all night long to fly into flight simulators. But very, very proud.
People had a good time. It was a great venue. Next year, you're going to Atlanta.
Yeah, we are. Flight Museum there at Delta, which is kind of like a miniature version of Museum of Flight here in Seattle. They're doing a multi-million-dollar makeover, and we're going to kind of help them relaunch that with the Gala of the Freddie Awards.
Tom, we're here with Randy Peterson. Randy is the publisher of...
Well, the magazine's Inside Flyer, but in the day of digital stuff, I'm probably more well-known for starting websites like Flyer Talk, Boarding Area, Mile Point, and of course, the Freddie Awards.
The Freddie Awards, for folks who don't know, are probably the biggest travel awards in the country that are voted by the folks who stay in the places. They're about frequent travelers and the like. Were there any surprises the other night? There were some people who were rather conspicuous by their absence from those lists.
Well, yeah, they are, you know, and that's the idea is that I've always been motivated by, number one, the industry does do some good things. I mean, if we were just to listen to some of the social stuff on the internet, you'd think none of the programs work. But reality is there's hundreds of millions of members out there. And I've always been a champion of the voice of the frequent flyer. So that's what the Freddies stand for. This year we had just over 8 million ballots out there, 19 million page views. And that's a lot of representation of the voices of the frequent flyer. And I think that's the most important part.
This community does a lot of social good within and without the community. I was a part of a special thing with Kiva a couple of years ago in San Francisco. You're hawking raffle tickets all over the place here, and people are buying a lot of them. Tell us a little bit about what all of that goes to.
Well, the interesting thing is, I think from a stereotype, most people think that those who play the frequent flyer game are just greedy. They want the upgrades for themselves. They just want me, me, me. And reality is, these same road warriors out there are among the most generous people. In fact, in the last 3 years, when we look at Mile Point and things like FTU and the Megadoo, we've given over $8 million to various charities, from Kiva to Livestrong, Komen, and Habitat for Humanity, and things like just buying bulletproof vests for canine police dogs. I mean, it's helping everybody out there. And I think that's the, you know, we talk about the things that I'm proud of, the Freddie Awards. I'd say helping others is the absolute best thing that I'm proud of.
It's a reasonably good legacy, I would say, Mr. Peterson. Can I just thank you personally for allowing me to be a part of the Freddie Awards the other night? I really had a good time. This has been very educational on a personal and professional basis. Congratulations on another great event.
All good. And as we say, see you in Atlanta.
And thank you to Randy and all the folks up here in Seattle who have made me feel so welcome. And a special thanks to Ben Schlopik, who really was my executive secretary and helped me get all this established. The lucky sports leisure traveler for this week is Jenny Rappaport. Jenny Rappaport, if you're listening, call the sports leisure office Monday or Tuesday and your $50 travel prize turns into $100. Tom, I'll see you next week.
Look forward to it, Mark. You have a safe trip home. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Remember, the Travel Guys, you can download and listen to the radio programs at TravelGuysRadio.com if you missed one along the way. And don't forget, now we'll be back next week at 3 o'clock. So you have yourself a fabulous weekend. Again, Mark, you fly safe. And folks, thanks for being a part of the program. You're on the Travel Guys on News Radio KFPK. See you next week.